Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The Bible tells us that they exist. I've never seen one. I've seen them depicted in art. I've seen them depicted in Holy Scripture, but occasionally they appear. They are ministers of fire. They are messengers. They are protectors. They are defenders. They are warriors. Today, the church remembers St. Michael and all angels. What should we remember about them along with the church? Now, to help us remember St. Michael and all angels, we're going to be doing a hymn study on this Thursday afternoon, September the 29th, the hymn Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. That's another way of talking about the angels, the stars of the morning all singing together. So what's the connection? If it were any other saint, we'd be talking about a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's the connection, the direct connection to Jesus Christ. What's the connection when it comes to St. Michael and all angels? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to study the hymn, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright, Dr. Arthur Just, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd, and a blessed St. Michael's and all angels to everyone.
If we were talking about St. Paul or St. Peter or any of the other apostles, even St. Mary, we would be talking about a sinner in need of a Savior, and that would be, for us on a day like this, a direct connection to Jesus Christ. Always looking where the saints are looking, to Christ and in his saving work. What's the connection when we talk about St. Michael and all angels?
Well, you know, if you look at the lessons that are appointed for today, they really do sort of direct you to the whole point of this day. And I think it's important to kind of just reflect upon that a little bit. I mean, the Daniel text and the Revelation text both talk about this war in heaven that's taking place, so to speak, and that St. Michael and his angels are on the side of Jesus, and they're fighting that war. I love the text from Luke chapter 10. I think it's one of the most enlightening texts. And this is where, after Jesus sent out the 70, they come back reporting that they have this great power over Satan and serpents and, you know, that sort of thing. And Jesus says this amazing thing, and this is at the heart of St. Michael and all angels. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, that is really what this day is about. How Satan is defeated. And if you go to the Revelation text, which speaks directly to Michael, Satan is defeated by the word of our testimony about the blood of the Lamb. And what Jesus is saying to the 70 is that when they were out there doing his work, doing what he did, that is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and healing, you know, reversing, so to speak, the virus of sin that Satan exploits, when they were out there doing the work of the gospel, the work of ministry, that slayed Satan, so to speak. It caused him to fall like lightning from heaven. And basically, he's telling them that's how Satan is defeated, by the word of testimony about the blood of the Lamb. And that's what the apostles did. That's what pastors do when they stand forth and preach. Satan is defeated. Now, I mean, if you look at the angels in the life of Jesus, they are remarkable. They're there at his birth. I mean, we sing that every Sunday when we sing the Gloria in Excelsis, that angels announce the birth of Jesus, and yet they're also with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, ministering to him. So they're there at the beginning, you know, at when he is born, and they're there when he dies, the night in which he is betrayed. Angels are also with Jesus in the wilderness. They minister to him after that, and that, in a sense, they accompany him along the way, just like they accompany us along the way. But Saint Michael and all angels is about the angelic war in heaven that is won by the preaching of the gospel, and that angels are pictured there as being part of this sort of, you know, angelic army going up against the armies of Satan, Lucifer, and his, you know, dark angels, and defeating him. Now some will say that Saint Michael is one of the archangels because he's named like Gabriel. But see, he certainly is the one who is leading the charge, you know, in terms of the defeat of Satan through the preaching of the gospel. And that's why this is such an incredibly important day, because it reminds us in this world that doesn't, you know, necessarily, you know, acknowledge angels, although I think more so the younger generations are. Our generation, Todd, didn't. But the younger generations do. And it tells us that there is this war and it matters.
What can you tell us about the author as we get into this hymn, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright?
Well, he's somebody who we wouldn't expect to probably be someone to write a hymn in our hymnal. He's from Sicily, believe it or not. He's a Sicilian. And he's a monk from the 9th century, did a lot of traveling in terms of his service in the church. He was in Thessalonica, he was in Constantinople, he was in Rome. But he is called the sweet-voiced nightingale of the church. And he certainly is one of the great hymn writers for the Eastern Orthodox Church. But some of his hymns have come down into the Western Church, and this is one of them. And I think one of the reasons is because it reflects the biblical faith in a way that many of the hymns associated with angels have not. This one does recognize the significance of angels in terms of the and this one isn't so much about the battle, but it's about the worship of Jesus and how they are ministering spirits in the place where Jesus is, and that they're part of the larger kind of, you know, cosmic liturgy of which our liturgy is a part. And that's I mean, there's so much to say about St. Michael and all angels. That's another aspect that I think this hymn in particular brings out.
And very briefly, you've mentioned the Revelation text, you've mentioned Daniel, and you've mentioned parts of Luke. What's the primary biblical roots, you think, for this hymn?
There are a number of them. I mean, I think the one that sort of jumps out at you is Psalm 103. And Psalm 103 is one that I think most people, if they know, you know, a number of psalms, they know this one. And it's I mean, you can see why it's so beautiful. It says, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will." I think that is in many ways the foundational one. But there is that wonderful passage from Hebrews in which, you know, and this comes at that end of the first chapter where there's in a sense the high Christology, where Jesus is greater than the angels, which at the time when Hebrews was written was a big issue. But I mean, angels are such an important part of Hebrews, and they occur, of course, at the end in the passage that has to do with the Lord's Supper. But it says, "Are they not," speaking now of the angels, and the verse before is, "To which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" And of course, the answer is, he said it to none of the angels, because that's only to be said to Jesus. But then he says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" And that's another theme of angels, that they're not only there to be part of the angelic war, they're not only there to worship, you know, the Son in heaven and to serve him there, but they're here to serve us. And that is a part of this hymn as well. We all know Job. This is where that language comes from, of the sons of God. I mean, Job, it's Job, oh boy, I lost it. Here it is. No, Job 38, verses 4-7. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth. Tell me if you have any understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who has laid its cornerstone? And here's the important verse. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And the morning stars, the sons of God here, I think most people take as the angels. There is one other brief reference in Revelation, Revelation 5:13, which simply kind of elevates the fact that the worship in heaven is for, you know, angels, archangels, and the whole company of heaven. And it says very simply, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
The first stanza of Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. Stars of the morning so gloriously bright, filled with celestial resplendence and light, these that where night never followeth day, raise the trisagion ever and a. Stanza one of Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. We're studying this hymn on this Thursday afternoon, September the 29th, with Dr. Arthur Just. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The recording from the Gloucester Cathedral Choir. When we come back, we'll get Dr. Just's thoughts on that first stanza. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, the 29th of September. The church remembers St. Michael and all angels. We're doing so here on the program by studying the hymn Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright with Dr. Arthur Just. We heard that first stanza before the break. What is the hymn writer describing in that stanza, Dr. Just?
Well, it's clearly a hymn that shows us that This is an extraordinary moment of praise to God, and it's really an indication how the angels are part of the light of heaven. You know, the resplendence that the light of Christ, you know, shines in heaven, and it is because it's the place of holiness, the Trisagion. You know, the thrice holy, you know, holy, holy, holy. And it is the place where there is no night. There is nothing but day. And I think this is, you know, indicative of how we think of angels. We think of them as casting a light and a brightness. You know, when you see pictures of angels at the birth of Jesus, you know, the shepherds, you know, holding the arm in front of their eyes because of the brightness of it. And I mean, they fit into the very character of heaven because they are stars of the morning. I mean, what you see here is how what God is and what He is eternally and what we will be eternally is complete total light. That there is no darkness in Him. And I mean, it really is a magnificently poetic verse in the sense that it gives you such a sense of how, to use the word from the hymn, resplendent it's going to be with the angels there in heaven.
Now, that thrice holy that you said, that is a direct connection to, if I'm not mistaken, two specific passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. What are we talking about there?
Well, we're talking certainly about the text from which we from Isaiah, and I think it's a marvelous example of the fact that what we have here is a link between the old and the new. I think if I'm thinking of the same passage that you are in the New Testament, we're thinking of the one in Revelation. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of a bookend to that Isaiah passage.
Yeah, I mean, here you can see how, you know, the final book of the New Testament, which is really a book of worship and praise to God. It's a book of liturgy. It's a book of, you know, of what it means to worship the Lamb. That is the kind of the end of it all. I mean, that's why we exist, to worship Him now and have the angels present with us now, with the whole company of heaven, so that we might worship Him eternally with the angels, you know, and archangels and the whole company of heaven, in a liturgy that is not sort of darkened by the presence of our sin, but is complete total light. That's why this verse is such a wonderful verse, because it shows you that the heavenly worship is going to be different precisely because of the light.
It's the one distinction that I think, or maybe the strongest distinction that I think can be made between the reality that's described there in stanza one, dwelling in this unapproachable light where Christ is the light of all things, where the day never comes to an end, is that is the realm that knows no sin and no death. Is that a good way of thinking about it?
Absolutely. I mean, because sin and death are related to the darkness, and where there is no darkness, or the darkness is related to them, but where there is no darkness, I mean, there is no sin, there is no death. And that's why light is such a, you know, He is the light of the world. The light has come, John says in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. It is the, in many ways, the most defining, you know, kind of characteristic of God in His eternal being, you know. I mean, He's love and He's light. Those two things go together, and that's John's gospel. That's why we love his gospel so much.
The second stanza of this great hymn, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. These are thy counselors, these dost thou own. Lord God of Sabaoth, nearest thy throne. These are thy ministers, these dost thou send. Help of the helpless ones, man to defend.
These are my counselors, these dost thou own. Lord God of Sabaoth, nearest thy throne.
Stanza 2, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. The words counselor, ministers, what should we understand from those terms with respect to St. Michael and all angels?
Well, you know, as sinners, we do live in a world of darkness in which we seek not only knowledge of God, but we seek wisdom. We seek the counsel of God. And we have always understood that the counsel of God comes through the Word of God, where the Scriptures speak to us of what God says and where, you know, we seek, you know, to see how it is that we can be wise in embracing Christ by faith and, you know, living, you know, the embodiment of that faith in works of mercy and love. But we are constantly fighting. We are constantly fighting our own brokenness. We're constantly fighting the entangling sins that cling to us. We're constantly fighting the darkness of this world, and we're constantly fighting still against Satan and his angels. We need help, and the help that we have are the same ones who help Jesus, the ministering spirits, the angels. They are our counselors. They are the ones who help us, you know, to fight the good fight. And they are the ones who, you know, do it in the way in which we are not even aware of, you know. Like Hebrews says, be careful, because you might, you know, you might show hospitality to angels unawares. As you said in your opening comments, you've never seen one, but you know, we know, as the other gospel lesson for this day, you know, indicates, that the angels are there to serve us, especially the children. I mean, they are our counselors, they are our ministers, and that Hebrews 1:14 passage. I mean, they serve. Who do they serve? They serve Christ and his saints. They are the ones who are sent there for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. And you know, it's part of the great mystery. I mean, it's one of those things that for many, many years people sort of refused to believe in. But now, you know, angels are back, you know, people believe in them. There's no, you know, kind of shame in suggesting this anymore, as there was back when I was a youth. Angels are real, and angels are counselors. They are the ones that, and I love the last line of this verse, help of the helpless ones, man to defend.
I want to make a careful definition here so that we don't pass by this word that often appears in hymnody, but also in our liturgy, Lord God of Sabaoth. Some people mistake it for Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, but that's not what we're talking about here. With about a minute before our break, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the hosts of heaven. We're talking about and I'll keep using the words from the liturgy, the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of heaven that are part of that revelation worship that I read before in Revelation 5. You know, these are every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the sea and all that is in them that are singing songs to the Lamb. This is the language of the Sanctus, you know, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. That's where it comes from Isaiah. They are the ones who are surrounding the throne, worshiping the Lamb.
Is there a bit, with only about a minute here, is there a bit of military connotation to the function of the angels in that word?
I think so. I mean, I think there is a sense, as I started out by talking about this angelic war in heaven, that they are warriors. I mean, and they are part of the battle against the armies of Satan and his angels that are threatening to destroy, you know, the kingdom, and that's why, you know, you see them in their council. They are oftentimes those who are doing battle on our behalf. And yeah, I think the Lord God of Sabaoth, the armies and hosts of heaven. I mean, there's an awful lot that's going into this. And I think if you actually explore all the texts for today, the Daniel text, the Revelation text, And especially the Luke text, I think you see that there is this incredible sense of the angels as being not only worshipers, but warriors too.
The third stanza we'll hear on the other side of the break. Then when the earth was first poised in mid-space, then when the planets first sped on their race, then when were ended the 6 days' employ, then all the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, it's talking about creation. It's taking us back to that Job 38 passage. God, well, he is questioning Job. Were you there? The angels were. When we come back, we'll talk about that third stanza of the hymn, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Safeguarding human rights for all.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Historically, whenever one group of people is designated as non-persons under the law, they are subjected to unspeakable horrors. For instance, black slaves in the American South could be deprived of life and liberty after courts declared them non-persons. The same was true for Jews in Nazi Germany. In America today, unborn babies have been relegated to non-person status, resulting in the deaths of millions over a relatively short period of time. The only safeguard to the rights of all humans is the recognition that the human race is sacred, set apart by God, having been created with special dignity.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Stanza 3 of the hymn, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. We're talking about this hymn on this St. Michael and All Angels Day. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Folks, if you enjoy these hymn studies, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Now, membership benefits include items like books, T-shirts, transcripts. You can find out how to become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Dr. Just, this third stanza appears to be about creation. Tell us about it.
It does, and I think one of the lovely things about this is it indicates how the angels were there from the very beginning, that they were there when Christ was creating the cosmos, and it is a marvelous example of how you can see the fullness of God's activity in Christ and how, you know, his creative capacities are there being, in a sense, rejoiced in with the angels. You know, that all the sons of God shouted for joy at this perfect holy creation that he made for himself and for us. And it's that sort of moment in Job where, you know, you can see that it may not have the same sort of context as we have here. It's a little bit part of that discussion of in Job where you can see, you know, God is sort of, you know, asking Job to think twice about everything. But this is certainly a bringing us back to the very, very foundational aspect of what angels are about. They are there to serve God in every capacity.
We get this picture, and I think, I mean, no one knows absolutely for sure, but we get this picture as though the angels are eternal along with God. Somehow this is some sort of divine structure that's in place that includes God and the angels, but we need to remember that they are part of creation too, just a creation we cannot see, but it sounds as though they are witnesses to the creation that we can see, because, and so joyful at it, because they understand God's great love and mercy, eventually his mercy for mankind.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. I think that's exactly right. I mean, there is a mystery to the angels and how, you know, they sort of came into being and what it is that, you know, we should understand about them in terms of their eternal character. But they are here at the beginning of what we know as creation, and they are, in a sense, what they do is they frame the entire sort of history of the creation. You know, and they will go into eternity with us. So in that sense, they are eternal with us in the thrones of the Lamb as praising God, as being his Lord, you know, his Sabaoth hosts, and it's because they have been there and have fought for God from the beginning.
If they were there as witnesses to the first creation and of the crown of that creation in mankind, it seems that their joy will be even greater when they witness along with us in the resurrection the new creation. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. In many ways, what they see is they see the whole picture and they see how it has been restored in Christ, which is why I think they're with him from the beginning, from his birth, and they in a sense, you know, journey with him through the whole recreating process of his life, his ministry of preaching, and in a sense giving glimpses of that new creation, that restoration, that health and wholeness that is only fully, completely revealed, in a sense, in his resurrected body, and will only be finally, you know, in a consummated way, shown to us in the you know, coming again in glory, when we will all, you know, be part of that eternal worship with the angels.
One other quick question on that: you've mentioned here that we find them at Christ's annunciation, his conception. We find them at his birth. We find them at his suffering, his temptation and his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. We find them especially at his resurrection, and then they are witnesses after his ascension as well. Are you saying that all along that point, they are kind of attending to the recreation that begins in Jesus Christ? They are basically witnesses, both seeing it, but also bearing witness to the fact that all things are being recreated in Christ.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, and I think you know, Jesus in his, you know, in his humiliation is being ministered to by them. I mean, after the temptation in the wilderness, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they in a sense give him strength there. You know, they certainly appear at the glorious moments, you know, the Annunciation, the birth of Jesus, the resurrection, as you said, and even at the ascension. But they are also there in the darkest moments, and I think there is a paradigm for us as well that we need to remember that they are there in the dark times, but they are also there when we stand in church and we're singing and we're receiving the body and blood of Christ, that the angels are there, in a sense, ministering to us and with us and alongside of us. And I mean, their praise is being joined to our praise, because the very thing that's happening in heaven is happening, you know, in the liturgy, and the angels are part of that. They're always there, you know, as part of the worship of God, whether it be on earth or in heaven.
Before we hear stanza four, what should we be listening for?
Well, I think you see here what you pointed out in what I have, that they are still fighting. And the word succor is going to be used there, and it's a word that we don't use very much, but it's a wonderful word in that this is the kind of the full kind of taking care of us, and they are doing that by not only ministering to us but fighting for us, and you can see that they are maybe the great singers that we need to kind of emulate. Their anthems are ceaselessly pouring. And we also see in the angels the proper kind of posture. And the hymn ends that we would the angels bow and adore. And as I said at the very beginning, you know, there are lots of things going on in this hymn, but the number one thing is that it is our kind of reverent worship and praise of Christ, who is the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. And that's why the angels worship and adore him.
The fourth stanza of Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright, still let them succor us, still let them fight, Lord of angelic hosts battling for right, till where their anthems they ceaselessly pour, we with the angels may bow and adore. About a minute before we take our final break, Dr. Just, do we have to wait until that last day, the resurrection, to join in this heavenly worship that the angels already engage in?
No, I mean, I think this has been one of the great, you know, reasons for St. Michael and all angels, one of the great reasons for, you know, the liturgy of the church, and that is that our worship here is joining the worship of heaven. And so as we worship the Lamb here in our liturgy of word and sacrament, we are joining the heavenly hosts. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think the Gloria has had such staying power, because the angels, you know, in a sense, worshiping the birth of the Christ child is really what we do here. That's why the Sanctus has endured, because, you know, the Lord God of Sabaoth, We join that especially, and that's why the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven of the Eucharistic liturgy is part of what we say, because our worship and the worship of angels are one.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, September the 29th, St. Michael and All Angels Day. We're studying the hymn Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. Dr. Just is a regular guest here on the program, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. When we come back, we'll hear the entire hymn, Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts. Here's a resource for your high school or college-age child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. The last 10 minutes concluding our study of the hymn Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright. He's authored the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can find both of these tremendous resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also visit Concordia Publishing House and order these resources for yourself. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke or the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service by Dr. Arthur Just. Dr. Just, you've headed in this direction the entire conversation. So let's, if we could, just kind of try and make it as clear as possible. If on a Sunday morning during the Divine Service, with the absolution being pronounced, the Word of God being proclaimed in long gospel, the Lord's Supper being celebrated and received there at the altar, the baptism being performed there at the font, if we could see what we can't see, what God is doing there with the angels and the archangels, what would we see?
Well, I'm so delighted you asked this question because, you know, I often have in the past when I've done a children's message, I've talked about, you know, what actually is happening here. And kids, I think, get it. I think kids can, you know, kind of imagine the veil being lifted, the cloud being kind of blown away, and all of a sudden just seeing the extraordinary activity that's going on in our midst. You know, if you look at a lot of these older paintings that show the kind of the separation between, you know, heaven and earth, you'll see that there is this sort of, you know, it's as if there is a kind of a veil that is over our capacity to see the full sort of, you know, panoply of activity that's going on around us. And, you know, this is where, you know, the hymns of the church, especially, but the liturgy of the church, and the, you know, even you can see it in places like Isaiah and Revelation, and, you know, the Transfiguration is a great example of this, where heaven and earth are joined together. Jesus goes up on the mountain, and Moses and Elijah come down, and you've got the earthlings, Peter, James, and John, and, you know, these heavenly beings coming together in the person of Jesus. wherever Jesus is, there is this incredible heavenly activity going on. If we could see it, I think we would be absolutely blown away. And this is one of the reasons why many liturgical churches that believe this fill their churches with sort of this kind of imagery of heaven. You know, one of the most magnificent buildings that I've ever been in is the Chartres Cathedral, if you've ever been there. And what? Why did they build those windows that way? Why do they have that incredible architecture? It's because it's not so much that they were reaching for heaven, as some people think, but they believed that heaven was right there in what was happening in that cathedral. And you know what they? You know why they built it the way they built it? They did because when Jesus returns in glory with all his angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, they wanted this to be the place where he begins. His proclamation at the end has come. They wanted a fitting space, not just a beautiful one, not one that was just filled with the splendor of those stained glass windows, but one that actually proclaimed in its very nature this extraordinary activity that's going on around us. And there will be the fulfillment of it. The veil will be, you know, taken away. The cloud will be blown away, and we will see the full, complete majesty and magnificence of what it's going to be like when Christ returns in glory.
The entire hymn, "Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright." The hymn, "Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright," sung by the Gloucester Cathedral Choir. Dr. Jest, your final thoughts on this hymn.
I want to talk about St. Michael and all angels and the day that we're in. That the reason for this day is to proclaim this reality, that Satan is defeated because the Lamb has been slain and raised again, which means that the accuser can no longer accuse us. For Christ, by his perfect life and his atoning death, has taken away the guilt of the world. He has removed all grounds for accusation against us. And what that means is that the floodgates of mercy are now open, and God's grace and forgiveness pours forth in abundance because the Lamb has been slain and his blood has been shed for all. The voice of the accuser is forever silenced. Now, if you listen to Jesus in talking to the 70, he says to them, do not rejoice that you have power over the demons, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of heaven. That is something that I think we need to remember. We need to remember on this St. Michael and All Angels Day that through baptism and faith, our names are written in heaven. We are, by the liturgy of the Church, word and sacrament, preserved in this status because we hear the testimony of his word and we feast upon his very body and blood so that we might be part of this eternal praise. This is the reason for our joy and the joy of all who hear and believe that the angelic war in heaven has been won. Christ's kingdom has come. And that's why with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we can proclaim with St. John, as he does in the book of Revelation, rejoice then, O heaven, and you who dwell therein. And that means not just the angels, but us too, even now, even here in this world, as we gather together to rejoice over the word of his testimony, and the blood of the Lamb.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd, and a blessed St. Michael's.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Carl Beckwith of Beeson Divinity School about late 4th century, early 5th century translator of Scripture, Christian scholar, church father, Jerome. Folks, if you'd like to do additional study on St. Michael and All Angels, we have great resources for you. Go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find this hymn study and the teachings of Dr. Charles Geeshan and Dr. Al Culver on St. Michael and All Angels, all you need to know right there. The victory has been won. This is really what the angels are rejoicing over, even at the creation. They are privy to God's overarching purpose. They know that it is not ultimately with them that God is concerned, but with man. They know that from the creation. And so they rejoice to see God's plan of salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, unfolding in history. They are not bound by our time or our space, but they exist solely for the will of God, and they know that the will of God is to save us. So it is to that purpose that their will is also turned. They defend, they fight, they minister, they counsel, they bring messages, all to proclaim that Jesus Christ has come into the world and won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. That's why they shout for joy at creation. That's why they shout for joy today and on the last day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.